Today, I want to ask you a question to consider, and that is, are you standing in the old covenant or are you standing in the new covenant? What is the old covenant? What is the new covenant? The old covenant has to do with religion, with obedience to an external rule book, with routine and rote and mechanical following of the rules. The new covenant has to do with a brand new heart, and the Word of God gets written upon that heart by the Holy Spirit. Where do you stand today? Listen in as we unpack this. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is March 19th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Exodus 34, 1-9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain." So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And then he said, "If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." Luke 3:23-38. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Heli. Heli was the son of Mathat. Mathat was the son of Levi. Levi was the son of Melchi. Melchi was the son of Janai. Janai was the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Mattathias. Mattathias was the son of Amos. Amos was the son of Nahum. Nahum was the son of Esli. Esli was the son of Nagai. Nagai was the son of Math. Math was the son of Mattathias. Mattathias was the son of Seman. Seman was the son of Josech. Josech was the son of Joda. Joda was the son of Joanan. Joanan was the son of Resa. Resa was the son of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the son of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the son of Neri. Neri was the son of Melchi. Melchi was the son of Adai. Adai was the son of Cosam. Cosam was the son of Elmadam. Elmadam was the son of Ur. Ur was the son of Joshua. Joshua was the son of Eleazar. Eleazar was the son of Jorim. Jorim was the son of Mattat. Mattat was the son of Levi. Levi was the son of Simeon. Simeon was the son of Judah. Judah was the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jonam. Jonam was the son of Eliakim. Eliakim was the son of Meliah. Meliah was the son of Mena. Mena was the son of Mattata. Mattata was the son of Nathan. Nathan was the son of David. David was the son of Jesse. Jesse was the son of Obed. Obed was the son of Boaz. Boaz was the son of Salmon. Salmon was the son of Nashon. Nashon was the son of Amminadab. Amminadab was the son of Admon. Admon was the son of Arni. Arni was the son of Hezron. Hezron was the son of Perez. Perez was the son of Judah. Judah was the son of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham was the son of Terah. Terah was the son of Nahor. Nahor was the son of Serug. Serug was the son of Reu. Reu was the son of Peleg. Peleg was the son of Eber. Eber was the son of Shelah. Shelah was the son of Canaan. Canaan was the son of Arphaxad. Arphaxad was the son of Shem. Shem was the son of Noah. Noah was the son of Lamech. Lamech was the son of Methuselah. Methuselah was the son of Enoch. Enoch was the son of Jared. Jared was the son of Mahalalel. Mahalalel was the son of Kenan. Kenan was the son of Enosh. Enosh was the son of Seth. Seth was the son of Adam. Adam was the son of God. Psalm 62, 1 to 12. I wait quietly before God, for my salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They are friendly to my face, but they curse me in their hearts. I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. From the greatest to the lowliest, all are nothing in His sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they are lighter than a puff of air. Don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you judge all people according to what they have done. Proverbs 11, 18 and 19. Evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last. Godly people find life, evil people find death. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Exodus chapter 34. And in these 9 verses, we discover some really rich truths. First, we learn something about the nature and the character of God. Remember in the previous chapter, in chapter 33, Moses has said, I am not going to go one step forward unless you go with us. I cannot go forward without you. Please, I need your presence to go with us. And so the Lord tells him to hide in the cleft of the rock, and then he passes by him and he tells him, you cannot look in my face, but you can look at my backside. And as he passes by, the Lord reveals something about himself, of his nature and his character. The Lord passes before him in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, and he proclaims to to Moses, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So here's something that's a real good application. Anytime that you have a thought about God, thinking, well, he doesn't really care about me. He must have forgotten me. He doesn't hear my prayers. He must be mad at me. He must be punishing me. You have to ask yourself the question, does this line up with the nature and character of God, these thoughts? And if they don't line up with his nature and character, then you throw those thoughts out. So we just learned in these verses that God is merciful. He's gracious. Grace means getting something good that you don't deserve. He's long suffering and he abounds in goodness and truth. He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. That is his nature and that is his character. But the other thing I want to pull out of this passage that we read today is now, the first time that Moses went up to Mount Sinai and came down with the two tablets, with the Ten Commandments, he came down and found the people into idolatry, and they had built the golden calf. So he threw the two tablets down and smashed them and, destroyed the golden calf and had them and ground it up into powder, put it in the water, and had them drink it. So now God is calling him back up to the mountain. And the Lord is giving him instructions. And he says to Moses, go cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I'll write on those tablets the words that were on the first tablets that you broke. Now, this is actually this action that he's about to do. It carries a lot of weight and deeper meaning behind it. Because you see, the first set of tablets was representative of a covenant that God was inviting the people into, and it was a marriage covenant. And they committed spiritual adultery when they were worshiping the golden calf. So that first marriage covenant was destroyed. But now God is telling Moses, make two more stone tablets and bring them up here. And then we will do this again. So, what is that really telling us? It's telling us that God knew that the marriage covenant that he invited the people into, that he invites you and I into, that they were going to break it. They were going to be unfaithful to him. And yet, he shows mercy and gives them a second chance. There's the old covenant. The first covenant, the covenant that's given at Mount Sinai, follow me, obey me, follow the law. And then there's the new covenant, the second covenant. What is the new covenant? Did you know we can find the new covenant in the Old Testament? Yes, indeed. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, God is speaking and he says this, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. So the covenant they broke, well, they broke it when they had the golden calf incident. But this shall be the covenant, the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law, my Torah, my word, my scriptures into their inward parts and write it on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, when the first covenant was given, the fact that the covenant was given on two stone tablets is a sign. It's a sign of the condition of their hearts. The word was holy and good and true and right. There was nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, with the commands from God. The fact is, it was an indication of the condition of their heart. Their hearts were hard, like stone, like the two stone tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on. And what Jeremiah chapter 31 is telling us is that there's going to come a day when God is going to take out the heart of stone and give us, each and every one of us that repents, a heart of flesh, like soft clay. And that soft heart is something that he can write on it with his very finger, with his Holy Spirit. He can write on our heart and reveal his holy word, his scriptures, his truth to us on a soft, yielded heart. So the new covenant is we have a new heart. And the word of God, it's not an external rule book that you try to follow the rules, be obedient to the rules. Instead, God puts the word inside of you, and he puts the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so by the Holy Spirit, you are led to repent. You are led to make things right or to make amends. You are led to be kind and to give and to be generous and to do good works in the name of the Lord. And that's because you have a new heart. So my question, my friend, is this: are you standing in the old covenant? Are you following external rules and out of religiosity and out of just routine, going to church because that's what you've always done? Or are you standing in the new covenant? Has Jesus given you a new heart? Does his Holy Spirit reside inside of you? Are you led by his Holy Spirit? That's a question that only you can answer. I exhort you and encourage you to take time in your prayer closet today and ask the Lord, am I standing in the old covenant, in rules and religion and routine and rote? Or am I standing in the new covenant, being led by the Holy Spirit with a new heart? Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.